Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening. This is LaVon Dreeland, founder of Urban Glory Campaign and host of USWAT Radio. We're coming on live this week at 6 p.m. Monday through Friday, and I would like to welcome you to the Leadership Institute. The Leadership Institute is designed to do an in-depth study on leaderships and concepts of leaderships in times of recession. And the particular theme for this is revolutionary resolve for leadership in times of recession. Again, I would like to welcome you to this program. This program will be held each day, Monday through Friday of this week, May 4th through the 8th, 2009, at 6 p.m. And if you're listening by internet, you can always get off the internet and call 646-595-4877 for the ability to listen to it by phone. So I would like to welcome you to the Institute. I am excited that we are able to produce this Institute in the manner that we are. Again, I would like to caution you before we start that this particular session will not be downloadable on the internet. We will, after we record it, also delete it, so that way you can call the information, the ministry information number, and find out how you can purchase the product in its entirety. This is only a portion of the Institute. There are two other divisions to our Leadership Institute that will take place later on in the year. And we would like you to have the whole comprehensive study on the entire leadership and the revolutionary resolve for leadership in times of recession. This week, I'm going to be one of the instructors along with the president of Urban Glory Campaign, Kalina Olivia, and she's going to be teaching on various subjects and spiritually, from a spiritual connotation, and I'm going to be speaking from a business connotation for most of my sessions. Tonight, however, I will speak from a spiritual connotation as it pertains to the church establishing leadership. And then throughout the week, we'll go further. I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to involve and to get involved into this entire institute. And throughout the week, I'm excited about sharing with you what all is to take place as a result of us establishing leadership in the community of faith. So let's ask the Holy Spirit for his involvement and get right into today's lesson. Session one. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day, knowing that this is the day that you have made, and I rejoice and are glad. I thank you for your word, and I thank you not only for your word, but for the applications of your word, visibly demonstrated in the wisdom that you have released supernaturally to us to apply at will for the circumstances of this world. We thank you, Lord, that the victory that overcomes the world is our faith. And we thank you that our faith is upheld through the Lordship of Jesus Christ. You activated in our precept and our example, as our precept and our example for us to follow at will. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that is the educator and guide of this week's Institute. We depend on the Holy Spirit to reveal to us through clear articulation and deliberation of thought and speech the things that you have purposed for the church to know for this dispensation. We covenant with the Holy Spirit that you will have your way in everything that is accomplished and revealed. And Father, you alone will get all the praise, honor, and glory. And it is in the name that is above every name, the name of Jesus, that we pray and give you glory. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Well, tonight's lesson, I want to give you a comprehensive definition on leadership in addition to two areas of emphasis that I want to talk tonight pertaining to leadership and functioning as a leadership body. In the church, we have not seen truly what I believe based on my studying and based on the prompting of the Holy Spirit, a functional leadership body. And leadership is not visionary or not visionary, but they are what causes the vision to go beyond the visionaire. And if there is no establishment of leadership, the vision will remain dormant in the scheme of existence. So we need to go back into areas and really discover what it means to have leadership. Tonight's session is entitled Constructing Comprehensive Leadership. Constructing Comprehensive Leadership. There's another portion to this institute that you will receive concerning visionary knowledge, understanding what it means to possess a vision and understanding how to communicate that vision to develop your leadership. However, this session talks about, assumes rather, that there is an established vision that requires implementative steps needed to achieve the actuality of that vision. The solution to that is the development of leadership, and that's what we're going to be talking about in this particular institute. I want to give you a scenario that provokes you to reexamine some natures and some realities pertaining to leadership. We often confuse leadership with people in place to sustain a function. And leadership does demand function, but there's a greater quality in leadership than mere functioning. And you putting people in position, if you are a minister or a preacher or someone that's involved in electing designates in positions for the sake of function in the quote-unquote church, the connotation that we have for putting people in position has to drastically change as it pertains to true leadership in the church. And let me say this on the record, that gifting is not a quality that you look for as a position of leadership by itself. So because someone has the ability to preach doesn't mean that they should assume the leadership position of pastoring or the leadership position of overseeing pastors or the leadership position of an evangelist and or a prophet. Because a person is gifted does not indicate that they qualify for leadership. And that's one of the devastations that we have in the church today is we religiously capitalize off of gifting, and because there is no communication about leadership and there's no comprehensive approach to constructing leadership, the church is disorganized and dysfunctional, all under the categories of spiritual gifts. So it makes it seem and appears as if God has instituted confusion or foolishness to construct leadership as a role that voices his gospel. And that's not the case. We have to look at leadership from a greater aspect than we have been religiously. And religiously simply means over a period of time we've kept a tradition and categorize it in a spiritual sense to make it seem like it's the way of God. And leadership, when you study leadership, you will find a facet of God that goes beyond spiritual gifts. And in one, it's the quality of the Holy Spirit, and it's the quality of order. In addition to that, there are qualities that we can see visibly through the life of Jesus, through the teaching of Moses, through the children of Israel, their captivities and things that will show us the power of leadership in effect at its best and at its worst. So I'm not going to be given scriptural analysis of leadership. I'm going to give you application of leadership, and I have the president giving you scriptural application of leadership. And I believe that it's going to really help you in establishing and identifying leadership in your church. Be not also confused about the difference between influence and authority. I'm coming out with a book about authority in a different vantage because we confuse influence with authority. And authority is vested. It is transmitted from a source. Influence is assumed. And assumptions are always subject to change. Authority never changes. And we often believe because we have influence that we qualify for leadership. And that's also why assumptions based upon giftings come about as a result of us establishing leadership as well, because we believe we're gifted that we should assume the role of leadership, and that's not the case. We must then take on a greater perception and develop our mind, be transformed in the renewing of our mind, so that way we can produce the proofs that are necessary to exemplify godly leadership. How is that going to be done? By reexamining and constructing a comprehensive approach to leadership. So there's some definitions that are going to be broad and in-depth. But as you look at it, I want you to go back in your own time and develop the scriptural analysis necessary to approach this matter pertaining to your ministries and congregation. However, even if one of the things that I find, you have an entire congregation of leaders in your church that you might not even know because they've been given authority versus influence. And it's important as pastors and as leaders of organizations, of Christian organizations, that we begin to open our understanding through the true power of the Holy Spirit that will shed light as to how to approach establishing leadership for His church, because it's God's church and not our church. And God is the creator of heaven and earth. He's an intelligent being. So we need to learn how to comprehend and approach an intelligent being that created the earth to create a microcosm effect of His intention. In doing so, one of the suggestions that I give to every pastor is to, at one point in your congregation, in your meeting, congregational setting, you locate an information base on what exactly your congregants do professionally and civically and socially, and get a good understanding of the people that you are surrounded around that have dedicated themselves to establishing a congregation that supports you as the visionary. So you need to find out why people are around you, why people associate with you, especially when you are a leader of an organization or congregation. Each of those components requires organization, and in doing so, the best thing you can do is locate the skills of your people. And part of all forms of leadership is establishing an understanding on the needs and the demands that the culture stipulates for that time. And that's why there are so many, you can find, and you will find as you go into the church and as you go into ministry, you will find that there are people who subconsciously separate their personal culture from their spiritual culture so that in church they function one way and at home they function much more progressively than they do at church, and their benefits that they do at home or in their vocation or in their secular vocation can benefit the progress of your church. But if there is no operation, if there is no those type of communication concerning what they do in their vocation and what they do in their personal time and what they do and what they are, what their skill set is, your church is deficient to meet the progress of the cultural calling that we're all appointed to expand and to influence and to become a authority figure for the sake of the kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Now, God is not not just merely an influence. He's an authority figure. So when we talk about establishing leadership, it's going to be as a result of having a secure source of authority. Well, that brings me into my lesson for today. Let me give you a comprehensive construction, comprehensive leadership, because there is a need to establish leadership, not only in the church, but leadership among the precious people of the church. Leadership, and I'm going to give you a long statement, embodies authority, which forms their attitudes, behaviors, and values to control, correct, or challenge systems, sets of knowledge, or social norms with creative forces and forms of work to achieve positive adaptive capabilities needed to conceive or reconceive dedicated visions that develops organizational cultures, the capacity to meet the resolves and challenges, the work culture faces, and the apt to produce clarification and or integration to competing values that will advance the adaptive work efforts to the vision they are dedicated to. Let me read that again. Leadership embodies authority, which forms their attitudes, behaviors, and values to control, correct, or challenge systems, sets of knowledge, and or social norms with creative forces and forms of work to achieve positive adaptive capabilities needed to conceive or reconceive dedicated visions that develop organizational cultures, the capacity to meet and resolve challenges in work cultures face, and the apt to produce clarification or integration of competing values that will advance the adaptive work to the vision they are dedicated to. There are some things you need to know about leadership. Leadership thrives on accomplishment, which is the capacity to clarify values and make progress despite challenges that attempts to distort a pure value system for vision. So again, when you begin to establish a leadership body, they are based on a source of authority. Now, the source of authority grants vision, and the vision demands that a leadership body be constructed, because without a vision, people perish. So we need to understand as visionaries that when God gives us a vision, he will also give us the wherewithal to construct the leadership needed to sustain the vision. But the leadership will dedicate themselves when they embody the authority to form their attitude, behavior, and value to control and to correct the challenges of system as sects of knowledge and social norms. So that source of authority has to be granted upon God. That's why it's important that the church understands the authority of God, and that those who have been given a vision understand that their vision will only be achieved when it is connected to the source of authority that implanted that vision. And that's what I told you. I was coming a little from a spiritual connotation today. You may Some people confuse often their call to leadership versus their vision. They're containing a vision. And each of us have vision, but all visions are not set in place by the source of authority to develop leadership. So you need to know what the vision, in order to understand what vision you have to understand authority. And leadership demands a study on authority versus influence. And for so long, I've seen, and you know, we've set up positions in the church, and we have established positions in the church, and the scripture gives us established positions in the church. Anytime we enhance what the scripture has depicted, we then are subject to some sort of confusion because God has a clear method and or modus operandi for the church to develop their leadership body. And very few people that establishes vision pertaining to the church comply with the scripture as it stipulates how the church should flow. Now, one of the things you can use vividly, and I'm using this example because I think it's appropriate at this time, is to look at Jesus. When Jesus was going about his ministry to establish the church, he located leadership that were functioning under other authorities. Each person that is attributed as a disciple and or an apostle of the Lord Jesus were found progressively, were found under vision. They were under some form of vocation, and they were very successful in their vocation. Why? Because they had an understanding of authority from the onset. When you're a tax collector or a fisherman or a businessman or a tradesman or a carpenter, you have some form, you understand a sphere of authority of how things work. Things work in patterns, succinct systems, and under the controls of higher realms of authority. Beyond influence, because you can have a lot of influence and never have any authority. And matter of fact, I would encourage you to read. There's two books that I'm going to encourage. I'm going to encourage you to read other books. But one is John Maxwell's book, 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership. And I want you to look at the law of E.F. Hutton. Because the law of E.F. Hutton lets you know E.F. Hutton was a board member when John Maxwell was a pastor. And he went to go pastor a local congregation. And E.F. Hutton was on the board of directors for that particular church. And E.F. Hutton was an older man who he wasn't the chairman of the board, because John Maxwell was, because he was a pastor, and the pastor assumed the chairman of the board. But he had the authority because whatever he said went, even though he didn't have the position or the quote-unquote visible influence that should be worthy of, he definitely possessed the authority. So what Maxwell had to learn was how to get E.F. Hutton to conform with him by not firing him, because if he fired him, the whole church would try to push him out. But he learned how to transfer the authority to E.F. Hutton by getting E.F. Hutton as an ally to him, because E.F. Hutton contained the authority of the church. So, and I'm not saying that necessarily that was righteous, but I'm just saying that's one of the examples that he used in that book. And you can understand the irrefutable laws of leadership. I think it's a good book that gives you precept and example as to how to develop understanding patterns of leadership. And then there's a book by Ronald A. Heflin. Let me spell it to you. HEIFETZ, called Leadership Without Easy Answers. And I think that's a great book. It's one of the, it's by the Harvard Press and the Harvard Kennedy School of Government. He spoke there and different places. It's a great book, and it gives you and a good chapter to read in that particular book, and I've developed some of my commentary on it, is leading without authority. Leading without authority. And I think that will help you understand some of the precepts that I'm going over today about leadership, creating defiance on the front line and modulating the provocation. And I think those books will help you, along with some other books that I'll give you throughout the week. But those two books will help you understand how the source of authority invests vision into a visionaire, so that way they construct leadership. And you'll see the principles of, you can't assume the principles of leadership without embodying or being a leader. And being a leader demands that you understand the source of authority, that you embody that authority, and that you form your attitude, behavior, and values to control, correct, or challenge systems that have been set up. All right. So there, another principle that I want to give you concerning leadership is leadership creates strategies. And we're going to talk about strategic leadership in the next lesson that you have with me. Leadership creates strategic or strategy that reflect characteristics of integrity to empower their strength, with understanding the visionary and the cultural state of affairs. And with that understanding communicated, their visions, convictions, by their interpretation, through analyzing and distinguishing cause and effect, facts from fiction, and their formulation of progressive steps to achieve goals, they uphold the values, beliefs, and correct habits that are essential to composing profit and success. So when leadership is in place, it will create strategy that will uphold the values and beliefs and correct habits that are essential to composing profits and success. So you need to understand, first of all, there's an expectation when you're given a position of leadership, or you're ordained to be in leadership, there's an expectation for you, based on the authority that's given to you, to produce a profit and success. And one of the principles that the revelation will thrive off of in this institute will be from this one principle that I think many people fail to understand, and that is, what you make happen for another man, God will make happen for you. When you learn how to apply and become a leader in another's vision, it will qualify you for obtaining the authority to exist in your own. So, as I said with the example of the disciples, the reason why the disciples could qualify to become apostles for the Lord's church was because they were worthy and found worthy and dedicated in other visions. And they had a comprehensive understanding on their sources of authority. And of course, and let me give you another example that I've learned, and if you really want to understand what I'm talking about, visit our website, our Blog Talk Radio, and download Empowering the Preacher's Prayer Life. Understand how powerful this is. Because they were raised in the Jewish culture, there was a somewhat of a comprehensive approach to spirituality that they understood. But when they came in contact with Jesus, because of their understanding of authority, they understood the necessity of the change that was needed to walk with Jesus. And that's why they ask, Lord, teach us how to pray, and Lord, show us what to do. How can we do this? And Jesus was able, because he was the visionary and he had a source of authority, was able to give them a systematic manner of conduct that would produce leadership for the church. Now, did they have challenges? Of course they had challenges. They had challenges all the way to the cross. But somehow in the scheme of the cross and the resurrection, they were able to come collectively together again, be endowed with the power that was essential, be empowered from on high with the Holy Spirit, and the church was established and added as such to be saved. So we see the power of leadership in the scripture, and we need to learn how to objectively comprehend it so we can establish leadership when the Lord has invested in us a vision to thrive upon. Leadership creates systems that establishes the motivation to achieve excellence in a work culture by composing a progressive information-based technology that complements the affairs needed to expand and profit the vision, and the collection of scholastic workforce needed for the vision to succeed as a continuum. So leadership creates systems that produces a continuum. And when the vision is understood based on the authority that is vested in leadership, they will learn to become excellent in the information base that the culture commands them to compose, and they will learn the technology that complements the affairs needed to expand and profit the vision. And they will also achieve a scholastic workforce needed for the vision to succeed as a continuum. I'm talking to ministers, pastors, and leaders. I'm giving these principles for you to really examine, do I have a leadership body? Or do I just have people in positions without understanding? And sometimes, and what I've observed, especially when it pertains to the church, that the visionary contains all the forms of leadership. And when that visionary dies, so goes the continuum of the vision. It dies. Because the leadership body doesn't have the understanding because they're not connected to the source of authority. And that produces a lot of problems in the whole construct of leadership. But when we understand what leadership is all about, and based on the definitions that I'm giving you of what leadership does and what leadership is, we can then identify where we are in the church and even in our organization. You know, if you have an organization and you don't have a functional leadership, and we're going to give you indications of what a functional leadership is in one moment, but if you don't have a functional leadership or a comprehensive map that voices the vision that thrives for that leadership, you're going to fail every time. And that's what happens. And even in your home, there's no vision. And where the vision, the Bible says where there's no vision, in one translation is people cast off restraint. In other words, they become irresponsible. Or they die. Or there's unnecessary confusion. And leadership has to be set based on authority, vested upon that leadership. But that the connection of the authority and the leadership is the vision. And the vision is given to a body to establish leadership for its continuum and its success. I want to give you five qualities, essential qualities of leadership. Five essential qualities of leadership. Because when you go to establish any form of leadership, you need to know what the essentials are that makes it leadership. And if you have these five qualities in business and in ministry, your ministry will succeed. This is not only my understanding of it, it's also confirmed in the scripture, and it's also being used in the research that I've comprised this study upon. It's being used as an advantageous advantage in this in description of successful company. And you'll find this in any successful company or successful ministry that you observe. You'll find these essential qualities there. Number one, a godly character. There's always a godlike figure set in place when it comes to a vision that constructs a comprehensive leadership model. When you see a successful, just think of any corporation, there's always a godlike character. There's a godlike quality that stands, that separates them from anything else. The greatest quality it reveals is their unique oneness with God in some form. Even secularly, there's a unique godlike quality in that vision that separates them and stands them out from any other organization. That's what causes that recognition to occur. Not the gifting, but the godlike quality. Again, that's that source of authority. You know, when you go to establish leadership, you need to be looking for people's godlike uniquenesses. I'm not just talking about giftings. Giftings are described for the perfecting of the church, the perfecting of the saints. I understand that portion. Giftings are essential. They're good. But godlike qualities go beyond giftings. It goes to their unique oneness with God and their concern for the vision and other people. And this results in what? True confidence, trustworthiness, and transparency needed to develop the vision and communicate profit and success. Godlike character and godlike quality. That's an essential quality, a godly impression. When you have an idea, you don't move on the idea. You move on the vision that has been vested based on the authority behind what you see. Hallelujah. I'm saying hallelujah, and we had a business meeting, but it's good anyhow. It's good information that'll help you out. Number two, high forms of objectivity. High forms of objectivity. They're objective. There's an objective. Leadership is extremely conscious of functional spans that demand an in-depth comprehension on the state of affairs, the roles needed to establish time objectives to achieve the vision goals, and a consistent purpose to create a passion that won't produce failure. So when you have a leadership body, another character beyond them being godly is that they're very objective in their activities and their affairs. Well, because they have an idea and a conscience about functional span. This will also help you locate who are leaders. Do they have objectives? Do they have a sense of functional span that demand in-depth comprehension or states of affairs, the roles needed to establish time objectives to achieve the vision's goals and be consistent, and a consistent person purpose that creates their passion to produce no failure? See, that's a quality of leadership. They have a passion because they have an objective. Hallelujah. And then the third thing, an essential quality of leadership is that they're committed to excellence. They're committed to excellence. Leadership composes order. Think about that. Leadership composes order to produce high functional, progressive profit, systematic resolve, and a motivational power that communicates moral and ethical traits needed to prove the value of the vision they work for. They work for. Why? Because they're committed to excellence. So they can pose order so that they can prove the value of the vision that they work for. See, and this is something that you need to communicate when you talk, see, I thought about this when I was establishing the Leadership Institute. The Holy Spirit kind of brought things back to my remembrance of why I have a strong leadership body. I have a very small core leadership team. I call them my ghost staff because they're filled with the Holy Ghost. But the ones that I have in place have a very, very creative God. They have creative God-like qualities that think beyond the norm. This organization that I have does more than radio internet broadcast. There are things that we're coming, that we're creating based on the leading of the source of our authority that this vision contains to produce leadership bodies globally. And one of the things that the Lord brought to my remembrance is that one of the attempts of one of my previous pastors that I thought was very good was that when they went to establish a leadership body, there was a certain institution that was developed for that group of people to embody the vision. So the success of the first 8 years was based on not only the people were instituted, they were instituted. They sat in a place and learned how to embody the vision. And that church is still successful. And I believe that every once in a while there has to be a reevaluation on the institution. But if you don't have an institution to establish the value based on the source of authority, you will not construct a leadership body in your congregation, businesses, or you have to be able to train to voice the conviction, and so that way they can connect to the authority that the vision contains. And that's what will take your vision from an idea to a profitable organization, to where it's composing profit, to where it's composing order and creating systems, because it has godly character, high forms of objectivity, and they're committed to excellence. Number four, leadership locates high-functioning leaders. Leadership desires to exist among scholastic, successful achievers who not only produce success for themselves, but helps foster leadership legacies for others for the sake of the vision. Leadership always desires to be among scholastic, successful achievers. So what you'll find, and this is how, when you don't have a successful leadership body in your congregation specifically, and maybe perhaps in your organization, it may be because you yourself are not embodying the quality of a leader. When there's disorganization, when there's no commitment to objectivity, there's no really connection to godly character and godlike qualities, and you're not committed to excellence, you're not going to have a lot of leaders among you. And then if you do have leaders, you're not going to even be able to recognize them because you haven't desired to function out that vision based on the source of authority. See, authority will stipulate the need to delegate the understanding of the vision first so that they could connect to divine ability to carry it out. So when you desire to distinguish and to determine a quality of leadership, look at their association, first of all, when you're developing leadership. But then also get an understanding of what's associated around you. When you're in a congregation and you become a leader, get their resumes. Find out what they do. Find out their unique ability. And then use that to enhance and to create the technologies needed and the objectivity and the godly character and the commitment to excellence needed to establish a functional leadership. I got to move on. Number five, leadership is designed to leave a legacy. Leadership are strong finishers. They endeavor to complete a successful roadmap by completing tasks and creating a system that will sustain past them through a continuum of time. So when you say they have legacy, leadership, when leadership is established, one of the qualities that STEM is, it has a declared vision that is written and communicated that will go beyond their physical lifespan. And when you talk about establishing leadership in the home, the same should be embodied in the visionaire. That they build up their families so that way that that leadership can be developed in the home, so that way the legacy of their home can go through from generation to generation. And we serve a generational God that establishes generational leadership because leadership is designed to leave a legacy. So those are the five qualities of leadership. Before we leave, I want to give you five qualities that indicate functional leadership exists. I'm giving you five qualities of leadership, but this is how you can indicate that leadership functions and that it exists. Function, first of all, let me give you this point. Function is comprised from a clear understanding of a vision that demands objectives to be formed and processes to achieve the goals of that vision. So let me give you these five simple things and we'll close for today's session. First of all, you need to understand that a functional leadership is displayed and can be indicated based on, first of all, a workforce. A workforce is a workforce means that function demands activities to be formed based on a plan of action developed on critical analysis of achievers, goals and ideas instituted by the vision to deem success and standards of a given organization. Number two, a functional leadership indicates that there's a systematic flow, a chain of well thought out and researched actions written and repeated for implementation to establish successful and consistent effects that will actualize the vision. And then number three, educational advancement. Pattern follow through advances when the leadership body excels in academic endeavors. It also gives and expands profit margins due to a technological advances occurring at a rapid rate. So this is what I wanted to comment on here. When you know that your leadership body is functioning, they will become scholastic. They will advance in educational endeavors. Why? Because in education, there are patterns followed through advances that the leadership excels in, and it also reveals to you the need for technology. And when you have people who are competent and excel in their competence, they will reveal the technology needed to reduce and to strengthen the workforce and the systematic flow. But if they're not educated, they won't enforce the systematic flow or the workforce. So they won't function. Because we're talking about functional here, functional leadership. These are the indicators that the leadership is functioning. They have a workforce. They have a systematic flow. They excel in educational advancement. Then they have creative solutions, number four. Systematic resolve will result in creative improvement. that will enhance productivity and enlighten the manner of process to a more excellent that are more excellent than their competitors. So creative solution, because you have competitors, people doing the same thing, but you need to be able to stand out. And when you have a functional leadership, they will create systematic resolve that will result in creative improvement that causes you to go and excel beyond your competitors. And then number five, this is what indicates a functional leadership. Number five, expansive profit margin. Profits will come as a result of a functional leadership body that contains creative solutions, educational advancement, a systematic flow, and a workforce. I'm giving you a lot of information tonight, and we have had an exciting time of sharing on this Leadership Institute the constructs of a comprehensive leadership. And I'm giving you a definition of leadership, and I want to give you this and conclude that leadership embodies authority which forms their attitudes, behaviors, and values to control, correct, or challenge systems, sets of knowledge, and social norms with creative forces and forms of work to achieve positive adaptive capabilities needed to conceive or reconceive a dedicated vision that develops organizational cultures, the capacity to meet and resolve challenges, work cultures face, and the apt to produce classification and or integration to competing values that will advance the adaptive work efforts to the vision that they are dedicated to. So we want to achieve leadership not only in the world and not only in our personal endeavors, but also in the church. And it can be achieved when we have all of this information that was given today in place. We're giving you five essential qualities of leadership. We've also given you qualities that indicate functional leadership exists in your organization as a roadmap to see how you can begin to take approaches to affording this big word, change. Well, the next time I come on in the conference, I'm going to be introducing the strategic awakening of strategic leadership in times of recession. But I don't want you to focus on the word recession, because recession is just a term that categorizes a state of change. You need to be able to function in leadership irregardless of whether there's recession or not. But because we're in a time of recession, we need to go back to the foundational roots of leadership, and that's what these lessons are turning. But we're going to deal with that by establishing strategic planning skills that I think are essential for the awakening of strategic leadership for times of recession. So thank you for listening to tonight's lesson, and I believe that you will have a prosperous week as you listen to this broadcast. Let everybody know that there's a lot of information given that is not necessarily given in the religious environment that are needed for resolving revolutionary approaches for leadership in this time of recession. So I will see you tomorrow night at 6 p.m. Our president is going to be leading our dialogue, and I look forward to the rest of this particular conference. Thank you for listening to the broadcast tonight, and continue to listen to our Leadership Institute 2009. Good night.